want to welcome everybody here today again. Thank you for being here with us.
Amen.
And especially our visitors, we are really glad to have you with us today. And you know, those who have not been able to be with us for a while, some of them have been sick and under the weather and different things going on, and especially Art and Bert, it's great to have them back with us. And always good to have them feeling good enough to be here with us. And you know, also, I know I'm going to embarrass her. I don't mean to embarrass her, but I just want you to know how much I appreciate Dolores being here. You know, Dolores, she struggles a lot, you know, every day. She's got a lot of pain and stuff going on, but yet she strives to be here, and how much I really get encouragement from you, Dolores, in doing that.
Amen.
So it's a great blessing for us to have you continue to be with us here. And it's great also to have Brother Willie Campbell here with us for the first time, moving here to Fort Lauderdale. We're glad to have him here as part of our family. We're going to be talking this morning, and it's going to be a little bit different than what we've done in the past, in that I want you to be thinking about this question: where do you stand? We're going to look at some charts and so forth this morning in our lesson, and I want to encourage you, the different charts that we look at are all the results of surveys, the survey that's been taken, and I want you to ask this question. As we look at these different charts, where do you stand on this particular thing? All right, so think about that. Before we get into our lesson this morning, we're going to, I'm not clicking here, I'm not moving, Brian. What's that? There we go. Okay, 5 o'clock this evening, right here in the auditorium, the movie Ring the Bell. Brian's going to be showing that. I want to encourage you to come back and be with us for that time of fellowship. And he's got some popcorn and all that ready, you know, be ready for us. So, plan to come out and have a good family movie night with us. Ring the Bell, okay? In our previous series of lessons, you're going to be familiar with a couple of these slides here. The previous series of lessons that we've been doing, we've been talking about how do we live holy lives in an unholy world. And one of the things that we talked about was how unholy the world really is. And there's a lot of corruption. There's a tremendous amount of sin. Ryan, I'm just not getting any response out of this thing here. Tremendous amount of sin that's going on, and that's what we're living in, the world that we're living with, that we are faced with. Okay, we're still having technical problems here. I can't do that from here. I need to turn this off. Okay. All right, this is a slide that you are... Well, just go ahead and advance it for me, Brian. I may have to just tell you to do that. There we go. Here's a slide that is probably very familiar to most of you. We've been looking at this one because one of the things that we've been saying through that earlier study was that, you know, as the world is full of corruption and sin, that a lot of Christians aren't much different from the way the world is. And this morning, I'm going to show you some things that really shows that that's true. Okay, that we're going to look at the results of some surveys, and what it shows us is that many people who call themselves Christians really aren't living much different from the way the world is. And part of the reason for that, as we were saying in our earlier study, is the way that we look at the Bible. You're going to see a really startling statistic in here this morning as to how important the Bible really is to people. And that's one of the basic problems, is people don't take the Bible seriously. Well, one of the things that we said over and over again in that previous study is that's not acceptable for God's people. We need to decide where we're going to stand. Okay, when it comes to the Bible and worship and all of those kind of things, and when it comes to the things, the choices that we make and the positions that we take, where do you stand on these things? And that's part of what we want to look at this morning. Now, let's talk about religion in the U.S., okay? Right now, the surveys are showing that those out of the U.S. population who claim to be Christians right now is 70.6%. You notice that is down from 80%, 80+% for the longest time. It's been running somewhere between 80 and 83%. And now it is down to 70.6% in some of the most recent surveys. Okay, so the folks who are claiming to be Christians in America is dwindling. Non-Christians okay? That is those religions that encompass the Jews, the Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus. They make up roughly 5.9% of the American population. Look at the group there that's called unaffiliated. Many people refer to them nowadays as nuns. In other words, they don't have any religious affiliation whatsoever. 22.8% of people in America that have no religious affiliation. And then, of course, there's, and you'll see on all these charts, there's always those who just simply don't know. Okay? 0.6%. Now, here's an encouraging thing. Right. This particular chart shows us that one particular group out of those that consider themselves Christians, okay, and people who take these surveys kind of lump different religious groups together, and Churches of Christ are lumped into, though we know we're not Protestants, okay, but they lump us into the group that is referred to as evangelical Protestants, all right? And you notice that in this particular group, which is out of all the other religious groups, we're the only ones who are growing. Okay, that's good news, right? And so from 2007 to 2014, grew from, and I'm going to have to move over here. I'm looking at some of these because I can't read it back there. 59.8 million to 62.2. All right, so that's a good thing. But let's take a look at a different one here. This is the unaffiliated or the nuns. From 2007 to 2014, they have grown from 37.6 million to 55.8 million. That is a huge, huge growth in 7 years. That people that have just said, look, some of which I'm tired of religion, I'm not having anything to do with it, and some who just never had anything to do with it. One of the things about this this particular group is, this non-religious group, look at this, the increase in the non-religious is rapidly growing among the millennials. Those people who are 30 and under. Okay? In other words, that group of people in our population are having less and less interest in religion or religious affiliation, church, and so forth. 33.3% saying they are not religious, up from 12% in the 1980s. That's a huge, huge growth. And you think about it in terms of the young people, and we've talked about it many, many times, the young people are what? They are the future. Okay, so if the young people in America are being less and less influenced by religion, then what does that tell us about the future?
Darkness.
Say, so we need to be looking at those kind of things. Okay, the things we're going to look at in the next several slides are going to be results of a survey by the Religious Landscape Study. 35,000 Americans from all over the country, okay, were asked about, and look at these categories, religious affiliations, beliefs and practices, and social and political views. So we're going to look at some slides that show us the results of these surveys. Now again, as we look at these things, I want you to be asking yourself a question about each particular topic. Where do you stand? Where do you stand on that particular topic or what have you? So let's take a look at these. First one is belief in God. All right? 63% of the people surveyed have a belief in God that says they are absolutely certain that God exists. 20% are fairly certain in their belief in God. All right? The next one. Okay. Belief in heaven. 72% believe in heaven, but only 21% don't believe that heaven even exists. All right? Next one. All right, now, this is an interesting one. Keep in mind that we're talking about 70.6% of the population claim to be Christians. Okay, everybody follow me there? All right, but yet, out of that population, 58% believe that there is a hell. What's wrong with that picture? You see? So there's a great, large portion of the population that believes in God and says they are Christians, but they don't even believe that hell exists. All right? 34% say, no, they don't believe in hell. Okay? Attendance at religious services. Again, 70.6% of the population claim to be Christians, yet only 36% of them attend church services on a weekly basis.
Well,
33% once or twice a month. 30% seldom or never. Okay, and then of course there's the don't know. They don't know where they go or not. I don't know what's going on with them, but you know, they don't know what they're doing, okay? What does the Bible tell us about that? How important is church attendance? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, obviously, right? But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to be together. Okay? God wants us to be together. And He doesn't want us to be together just so that we can get together. He wants us to come together, first and foremost, to do what? To worship Him. To worship Him. He's our God, and He deserves our worship. And secondly, for us to do, as He's saying here, to encourage one another. All right? So, but we have a problem with church attendance, okay? All right, frequency of prayer. Again, 70.6% of the population says they're Christians, but only 55% of them pray at least daily.
That's it.
All right? 16% pray weekly, 6% monthly. 23% of the U.S. population, which is understandable, okay? A lot of that 22-point-something% that aren't religious affiliated seldom or never pray. And then again, you got the I don't knows. They again don't know whether they're praying or not. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, how often should we be praying? The Apostle Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So, how often should we be praying?
All
the time. Okay? God wants us to pray. Again, why does He want us to pray? Well, because He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. Okay? And, again, we find a tremendous amount of blessing in talking to God.
Amen.
All right? How about just reading the Bible? Again, 70.6% of people say they're Christians, and only 35% read their scriptures on a weekly basis. Again, I'm challenging you, as you look at each one of these charts, to ask yourself, where do you stand in this? Okay? Because 10% of the folks are once or twice a month Bible readers. 8% several times a year. Seldom or never, 45% of the people. And then again, you got 1% of the people don't know whether they're reading the Bible or not. Where do you stand? If you had to put yourself on these charts, where do you stand? Where would you find yourself? Okay? The importance of religion in one's life. Now, this is a part of the survey. I don't know if you can see it up there in the top corner. The percentage of adults who say that religion is important in their lives. Okay? 53% out of the group of people who say, 70.6% say that they're Christians, only 53% say that religion is very important. 24% say somewhat important, 12 not too important, 11 not important at all. Where do you stand? How important is religion in your life? Okay? This particular graph shows, this is focusing on, out of that population, the different, it's a breakdown of different religious groups in America, okay? And shows where they are. Look at Protestant / other Christian. I don't know if you can see the number up there or not. It's 79%, okay? So you look at some of these others, and as you go down the chart, you know, religion is just not important in their lives. Where do you stand on that? Okay? Here's a really interesting one that I found in this. The sources of guidance on right and wrong. Again, and I keep emphasizing this, 70.6% of the population claims to be Christian, but yet only 33% of the entire population uses or considers religion as a source of guidance in their lives for right, for what's right and what's wrong. Does that help you to begin to see why, as we've been saying in the previous study, the world is so upside down? We got 70% of people in this country that are saying they're Christians, but only 33% of the folks think that religion is a source of guidance in their lives. Well, what else are they looking at? Okay, the Bible tells us what? God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a guide to our path. That's where God wants us to be focusing on. Right. But this one here, belief in an absolute standard for right and wrong. Only 33% of those surveyed say that there are clear standards. 33%. 64% of the people surveyed, and that includes, okay, this 70.6% of people who say they're Christians, live their lives based on what's referred to as situational ethics. So you ask the question, is it right or wrong to lie? Well, it depends on the situation. Is it right or wrong to steal? Well, you know, it depends on the situation. Is it right or wrong to have sex outside of marriage? Well, it depends on the situation. 64% of the total group, where 70.6% claim to be Christians. Okay, that's where they're standing. Where do you stand? Okay, where do you stand? Do you believe that there is an absolute standard for what is right or what is wrong? Or do you live your life on a regular daily basis based on situational ethics? You need to decide that. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the text that was read for us as we began this morning. Okay? How important is God's Word in your daily life? Because Paul predicted and told us what was going to happen. And he told Timothy to preach the word and to be instant in season and out of season, to use the word to correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Because there would be a time that would come when men would not put up with sound doctrine. Okay? And that's happening right now. Okay? And instead of sound doctrine to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's why we can have 70% of the population of America to say, yes, I'm a Christian, and still we have all of this corruption and sin, and the society is turning itself upside down because this is what's happening. Because too many of those Christians have said, okay, it doesn't really matter what the Bible says. I'm kind of going to go by the situational ethics thing. Where do you stand? In your daily life, where do you stand? Well, let's talk about some issues. Okay, some political, social issues. 70.6% of the people in the population of America, okay, claim to be Christians, yet 53% of the population says that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Only 43% say it should be illegal in most or all situations. 70.6% say they're Christians, but only 43% say that abortion should be illegal. Views about the environment. Now, this is really interesting when you consider both of these two slides. Views about environmental regulation. In other words, do we have enough regulations? Do we have too many and so forth? That's really the basis of the question. 38% say stricter laws and regulations cost too much and hurt the economy, while 57% think we should spend more money and it's worth the cost to save the environment. Did you catch the disconnect there? Okay? 57% of the people think, oh, we need to pay more attention to the environment. But what was it? 33% that care about abortion? We need to pay attention to the environment and take care of that, but it's okay for us to kill babies.
Well,
it's no wonder our society is so upside down with this kind of thinking. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. God told the people of Israel back then, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech. For you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And that was a problem that people were doing then, is sacrificing their children to this foreign god. Literally taking them and sacrificing them. And are we as a society doing the same thing, sacrificing our children to Molech because of convenience sake and so forth? Where do you stand? What about homosexuality? I mean, probably the hottest, most conflicting topics that there is in America today. All right? 70.6% of the population claim to be Christians, yet 62% say that homosexuality should be accepted. And only 31% say it should be discouraged. That's what's happening in America today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul said, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, or homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? That's what God says. Where do you stand? Views about same-sex marriage, along that same line. Okay? 53% strongly favor same-sex marriage. Only 39% strongly oppose it. Out of a population where 70.6% claim to be Christians, only 39% oppose same-sex marriage. Do we have a problem here? What does God have to say about it? Jesus' very own words out of Jesus himself, Matthew chapter 19, when asked a question about divorce, said, haven't you read? And replied that at the beginning the Creator made them what? Male and female. Still not getting up. There we go. Made them male and female. Not male and male and not female and female, but male and female. And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's what God says about it, but only 33% of the people in America, where 70.6% claim to be Christians, support that idea. Okay? So, how does then, and why is this so important? We've asked this question throughout our previous study. How does what we do affect others? That's a big part of the issue here. Where we stand on the issues in our daily lives affects other people, doesn't it?
Amen.
See? And so we really need to be considering that in terms of how does it affect our family? How does it affect the people in our neighborhoods, the folks that we interact with? How does it affect the people that we go to school with and that we work in our job? How does where we stand and the choices we make affect them and those relationships? And also, then, as we've been saying all along, how does it affect us? Where you stand on the issues, where you stand on all of these kinds of things, will affect your eternal destiny. See? And it will affect your life now, as you live your daily life, but it will also affect you for eternity. And that's why it's so important, and that's why I wanted to do this challenge to all of us today, for you to look at and to examine where you stand on these kinds of things. How important is the Bible really in your life? Is it important enough for you to pick it up on a regular basis and read it and study it? Is it important enough for you to come to Bible class? Well, if we took a survey of our congregation, we'd probably get everybody in here, probably close to 100%, would say, yes, it's very important. But brethren, watch your toes, because I'm fixing to stomp on them. We don't have 100% of our folks here on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night for Bible study. Why not? We say one thing, but are we doing something else? Where do you stand? How important is it really in your daily life for you to know God's Word? As the saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. Okay? Proof's in the pudding. Where do you stand? Somebody once said this. I don't know who it was, but I think it's true. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's what's happening in the world today. People are not standing on the things that need to be stood on. And so they're falling for anything and everything that the world is throwing at them. Amen. The question then is, where do you stand? That's the challenge that I'm issuing to this congregation this morning. As we were talking about in our previous study, all those different topics that urge us to live a holy life in this unholy world, we need to decide where we stand on those things. The world is unholy. We know that. The world has chosen its stand. We know that. The issue for us is, personally, where do you stand? How can you live a holy life in an unholy world if you don't stand for God? Okay? So, again, my challenge for all of us is to look at all of these kinds of things and personally ask yourself, where do you stand on? Okay? Where do you stand? How important are those kinds of things in your life that God says are vital to your spiritual life? I'm not going to apologize for stomping on toes. I know I didn't just step on them, I stomped on something. And I'm not going to apologize for that. And the reason I'm not, brethren, is because your spiritual life is of my greatest concern. Okay? I'm not going to stand up here before you. I never have and I never will stand up here and tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And I know that sometimes that's not easy to hear. But it's what we need to hear in order for us. Because you know what? I want to see every one of you with me in heaven.
Amen.
Every one of you.
Amen.
And that's why I issue this kind of challenge. For you to really look at your life and say, what's really important and where do I stand? Because too many of that 70.6% of people who call themselves Christians are standing with the world rather than standing with God. They're... And every single one of us individually, personally, need to decide where we're going to stand. Are we going to stand with God or are we going to stand with the world? And that's the challenge that I issue this morning. We're going to stand together and sing a song, an invitation song. Barry, if you want to come on up. And again, the challenge is for you to decide, where are you going to stand? Where do you stand on these things? And maybe, for some of you, maybe I've opened your eyes a little bit on some things that you need to pay attention to, and maybe you need to repent of some of those things. I want to urge you to do that. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up front. And if you have prayers, needs, whatever it is we can help you with, we want to serve you. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you. And if there's someone here this morning who is not yet a Christian, if you've not given your life to Christ, you need to decide where you stand. Are you going to stand with the world or are you going to stand with God? Amen. And if you choose this morning to stand with God against the world, You need to recognize it. You need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to repent of the sin in your life that's separating you from Him. And you need to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can have that done right now if you're ready to make that commitment. I want you to be thinking about while we're singing this song, where do you stand? Let's stand together and sing.